John chapter 2, I like 24. It says what? The threshing floors will be filled with grain. This was written for the people of Israel, telling them that, you see, your threshing floors, where you keep your grain, they'll be full of grain. I don't keep grain. I don't. So, in this sanctuary,
Major. Do it, Daddy.
Receive financial revival.
I receive.
Sit down. Sounds a financial revival.
Financial revival.
You will be shocked. Wait. Let's continue. Now go back to the scripture. Go back to the verse. Your threshing floors will be filled with grain. The vats will overflow with new wine and oil. Do you know what vats are? Now, give me message translation. I want to show something. Now, let's go to message translation. And plenty of food for your body. Cyrus full of grain. You know a mess silo? Other called silo. You know a mess silo? These are where you keep grain. All right? Your cyrus full of grain. Now, in our central, we don't keep money in cyrus. Now, I just want to look at that. Say, full of grain, casks of wine, and barrels of olive oil. Okay? Do you understand? In those days, they were keeping oil in big. They were making something like a pot. It's a big pot where they're keeping the oil. That was their money. If you have that, you keep your oil in those, and you've got silos where you keep your grain, then you are rich. When someone wants anything, they will come to you and buy from you. There were no banks. So if you have got money, you'd take your money and buy oil, like that woman of alabaster. The Bible says she kept her money in the alabaster oil. For the whole year, all her earnings went into an investment of oil. And she kept her money into the alabaster oil. So in those days, you would keep your money in oil or in grain, for there were no banks. Now, God is saying, I'm going to give you to a level whereby there'll be an overflow. Wait. The scripture's continuing, all right? The Bible's continuing. I'll make up. This is not spiritual. These are earthly blessings. We're going to see some scriptures shortly. I will make up. Wait. That one doesn't look like nice until we go to King James Version. In the King James Version, it's not I will make up. I will restore. I will restore to you what? The years. What years? That the locust demons have eaten.
Oh, yes.
Have wasted for you.
Oh, yes.
Marakatuje. The canker worm, the caterpillar, oh, yes. The palm worm. My great army with a son among you. I will restore. Not what you lost in the years, but I will restore to you the years.
Oh, yes.
The year you were supposed to be a millionaire.
Oh, yes, Daddy.
He will restore it to you.
I receive.
Sit down. Do you have somebody here who says, you know, there was a time I almost, you know, did something big? You see how we are dealing with the demon of almost.
Oh, yes.
God will just bring back that year in front of you.
I receive.
Every year you lost.
I receive.
Every year you wasted.
Oh, yes.
The Lord is restoring to you.
I receive.
Now sit down. I will restore to you the years when there's a financial revival in the church. Oh my God. Go back to scripture. Go back to scripture. Verse 26. The Bible says, and you shall eat in plenty. Wait. Is that spiritual revival? And you shall eat in plenty. Do you know the meaning of eating in plenty? This is when you eat in your house pap and spinach. Plenty on the table. You don't know where to touch. This revival is coming to you. Receive it.
I receive.
You see, when you are reading your Bible, sometimes you become too spiritual that you end up losing the physical blessings. God wants you to eat in plenty. On the table, you see, there is imported ribeye, if you know ribeye.
Speak, Daddy.
Like, what is this? It's a special tender part of steak.
Preach me, sir.
They don't serve to anybody in the restaurant. If you go and taste that one, you'll be like, oh, now I know what Papa was talking about. You speak in other tongues.
Come on, babe.
They prepare it in a nice way. You say you shall eat and in plenty and shall be satisfied. No, they didn't say in plenty. You can eat in plenty. So much pap and so much meat. That's what the plenty talk about. Satisfied. Where you are satisfied, not full. But you are like, yeah, I think there is no any other life after this. This is the maximum of eating nice. This revival, the church is forgetting it. But God showed me. He said to me, when you go to church, those who will be watching, they will experience this revival.
I receive.
I'm a prophet. I know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yes.
Now the Bible says you shall eat in plenty and be what?
Satisfied.
And praise the name of the Lord your God. Wait, sit down. And praise what? Until today, you have not eaten something that after eating you praise God. Go and eat ribeye, you will see. You'll be like, oh, Shara, hallelujah, Masuk, Canada.
Major provoval.
You just eat and go. He says, you shall eat in plenty to a level whereby you begin to see where you're coming from. And you begin to remember. Continue the verse. You will begin to remember the Lord your God that has dealt wondrously with you. You begin to say, but God, I'm eating like this. He says, you shall praise the name of your God who has done a wonderful thing.
Oh, yes.
For you to eat like that.
Oh, yes. Praise Daddy. We hear you, Papa.
If you have eaten a variety, it's when you have gone out to a restaurant or a hotel, your house will be a 5-star hotel. Your kitchen. Wait, this is in the Bible, eh? Are you seeing? After this, then verse, we are going there. After these things, when they have happened to you, then God will pour a spirit upon you and will begin to prophesy. Now you want prophecy. Let's go back first and claim the financial revival.
Oh, yes.
When you eat nice, you will see visions clear.
Yes, Daddy. Reach my father.
Not you are hungry, you just ate KFC and that's all, and it's something. And the father, I want a vision. The only thing you'll be seeing are your problems. Stress. But you eat in plenty. You are satisfied. You even praise God. Just close your eyes to see if you begin to see visions. No, but this is the truth. This is the truth. This is what? The truth. There is a revival that the church is jumping. The church is trying to be so spiritual. And the thing, you see, we just go there, hey, and you see the Holy Ghost. Wait, I've said before, any revival that does not come with the financial blessings does not go far. Does not. I can show you in the Bible, the churches that were sustained, and the Paul talked about them because they were financially stable. He even writes about them. Now, go back to verse. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. I like it in NIV. Shall never, in NIV, it says, and never again will my people be ashamed. Be shamed. Never. He said, I will do something. I will do great things. That you, his people, this is a revival. A revival. He says, you see, a revival whereby this one is rich, this one, that one, and they're in the house of the Lord, speaking in tongues. This one is rich, that one is a revival. You will never, ever again be put to shame.
I receive.
Allow me to talk about prosperity, right? And now we have people who they'll be watching on TV that, oh, why is he talking about prosperity? Is this your microphone? Seriously? Do we at any day talk about your pastor? It's simple. If you see, if you're feeling like this thing is offending you, open your own church where you talk what you want to talk.
Oh, yes.
Otherwise, if you follow men of God to criticize them, you are a monitoring spirit. I command you, come out! Hear me? There are people that just go on TV just to criticize. You are a demon, you. Those who are receiving, receive it!
I receive!
Now watch. Go back to scripture. Now, you will have plenty to eat until you are full. And you praise the name of the Lord your God, who has worked wonders for you. Never again will my people be ashamed. Remember the restoration of years. He shall restore all the years which the demons had eaten. He shall give you in plenty. He shall make your banks to overflow. Now, verse 27. My God, then you will know that I am in Israel, that I am the Lord your God, and that there is no other. Never again will my people be shamed. Wait. Verse 28 now, look at this. And after a while, stop, sit down.
Major provo.
Now, preachers, they just start from afterward. I'll pour out my spirit. No. I will remove the shame. I will give you in plenty. Afterward, I will pour out my spirit. This is predestination. The Bible says, for those he foreknew, he what? For prepared, predestined. For what? So every person here, before God called you, these things happen in the spirit. There was restoration, there was giving prosperity, and you were revived. You received Jesus. Now that you have received Jesus, in the realm of the spirit, we don't move forward. Do you understand? We start from here, we go backward. That's why the Hebrew writing, you don't write from left to right. You start from the end to the beginning. Ah, you're slow.
Come on, Major.
In your writing, you start from left to right. Hebrew, they don't write from left to right. They start from right. The end of the page, they write going to the beginning. That's what the Bible says. For those he called, he what? Now give me Romans 8. Just give me Romans 8 from verse 28. I want to show you something. Romans 8 from verse 28, right? I want to show you this. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Stop there first. Calling is number 3. For those he foreknew, predestined, and called. Now, where you are, what do you think you are? You are called by God, right? Yes. Now, most Christians, we start from where we are called, and we continue. For those he called, he did what? According to the same scripture. For those he called, and whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. Now, most Christians, when we are called, all we want is what? Justification. What is justification? Forgiveness of sin. So when you are born again, what do you think is, I want to be forgiven, then glorification. I want a miracle, I want a testimony, you want glorification. But you're forgetting that actually calling is number 3. There are 2 behind you. Predestination and foreknowledge. For those he predestined, he foreknew, then he called. Now you understand from the calling, justification, glorification. You must go back first when you are called. Go back to the predestination. What did he? To predestinate means to foreprepare. What was I foreprepared for? There is already a predestination, a foreparation, that if you are in debt, this will be a solution. If you are sick, this will be a solution. That's predestination. There was a problem and an answer. After that, he foreknew, which is foreknowledge. He knows you in advance. He knows your future. He knew there'll be a time you will meet major one. He knew foreknowledge. After that, he called you. Now, when you're called by God, don't move forward. Go back to predestination. Then foreknowledge. Then back to your calling. Then you'll continue. So the journey in the spirit, we don't start from where we are to next level. We start from where we are. We go back. Now the Bible says, afterward, I will pour out my spirit. Afterward, which means before, go back. What is he saying? There'll be a financial revival. You'll have plenty, even the fields. The fields. He says, even in the desert, there shall be grass springing forth. He says, I will do great things. I will remove the shame from you. I will give you restoration. When I'm done with this, I will pour out my spirit. Then there will be prophecy. The Bible says, when they ate and they were full, they prophesied. So I'm seeing it. It's so clear of the financial revival about to hit this ministry. One by one, millionaires will begin to spring forth. I'm seeing a financial revival than never before. There is a revival coming.
I receive.
It's a revival. Financial revival. Receive it.
I receive.
Sit down for a moment. Financial what?
Five.
Now, so if you are here and nothing seems like moving well, all you need is what? Financial revival. Let me give you two more scriptures. Can I? Let's go to Acts chapter 2, verse 43. Now, watch this. You see, people will be like, no, when they were praying in the book of Acts, they were filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, and they began to speak in tongues. There was revival in the city. Wait, there was no revival in Acts chapter 3 and Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 3 and chapter 4, that's where the whole revival happened, where miracles happened. From Acts chapter 3, the beautiful gate, the healing, chapter 4, all those miracles that Apostle Peter and other apostles performed. Before that happened, God made sure there was a financial revival. In Acts chapter 2, verse 43, the Bible talks of a revival. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Verse 44, it says, and all that believed were together and had all things. If one has got a Lamborghini, another one a Lamborghini too. They had all things in common. No, continue. It says what? Verse 45. And sold their possessions and goods. They even went into real estate. There was buying and selling of goods. They brought the money into the kingdom. They financed and brought the money. Wait. Part them to all men as every man had need. Are you here? Now, go back to verse 44. Now, in 44, in Message translation, I like how Message says on this one. And all that what? Lived in a wonderful harmony, holding everything in common. That's a revival. Now, that's a revival. They had all things in common. There was no rich and poor in their midst. It says if there was one poor, the rich ones could sell some of their properties and give the other poor one. You hear that? How many are following? Come on, how many are following? Now, go back to verse 43. Now, 44. 44. Now, 44, I'm going to give you first in good news. Good news. All the believers continue together in close fellowship and shared their belongings with one another. Now, NIV. Hey. All the believers were together and had everything in common. 45. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had a need. You where you are, can you sell anything to give a neighbor? That's the only thing you have right now. I'm foreseeing this revival coming to this church.
Receive.
Too much finances. I believe in a financial breakthrough. I know. You see, when God says, "Wanna do that?" Do you know that the Israelites were not laid out of Egypt until they had a financial what? Until they had a financial revival. Do you know that God said to them, "You will borrow to every Egyptian gold, silver, any precious thing. Take it from Egyptians. The moment you take them, leave the country." Yes! Exodus 3, verse 21. Exodus 3, verse 21. "And I'll give these people favor." I'll give them favor in the sight of Egyptians. I'll give them favor in the sight of companies, in the sight of businessmen and women.
Yes, Major.
I'll give them favor in the sight of their bosses. Now, you didn't understand this. In the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when they go, you shall not go empty. Tell your neighbor, I will not go empty. Now, go back to scripture. Go back to verse. The Bible says what? Now, give me Message translation. And I'm going to show you in also NLT. Now, I will see to it. My God, if God is saying, I will make sure, I will see to it. I will see to it that these people get a hearty send off. A hearty send off by the Egyptians. When you leave, you won't leave empty handed. Is that a spiritual revival? It's not a spiritual revival. It says, I will make sure. Wait. Let me show you New Living Translation. In the New Living, "And I'll cause the Egyptians to look favorably on you. They'll give you gifts when you go, so you will not leave empty-handed. Any office you enter, they'll give you somewhere to sign."
I receive.
Now, go down. The following scripture. Right. Just go down. "Every Israelite woman will ask for articles of silver and gold and fine clothing from her Egyptian neighbors and from foreign women in their houses. You will dress your sons and your daughters with these, stripping the Egyptians of their wealth." Stripping the Egyptians of their wealth. Did you hear that? Imagine that even your children will be wearing gold and silver. says you will remove their wealth. Now, give me message translation on the same one. All right. Give me message translation. Each woman will ask her neighbor and any guest in her house for objects of silver and gold, for jewelry and extra clothes. You put them on your sons and daughters. Oh, you clean the Egyptians out. Time is now. Oh, wicked people.
Oh, yes.
Say they'll be cleaned out.
They'll be cleaned out.